Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Lamed He. Today's daf has been dedicated by the Asa family in memory of Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam. Today's daf is also being studied the Alun Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. We are starting today on Kuf Lamed Dalet Amud Sheni on the bottom line. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Braita. Orlato, the Pasuk says, Ubayom Hashemini Yimol Besar Orlato. Orlato means the foreskin. So the Gemara here makes a Dirasha. The Gemara says, "Or lato vaday dochayet haShabbat velo safek dochayet haShabbat." We learned from that pasuk originally that you're able to do a milah even on Shabbat. Ubayom haShemini, even if it comes out on Shabbat. Now the Gemara is saying, "But what type of milah could you do on Shabbat? Only where there's a definite foreskin on lato vaday, where it's a milah vaday." However, if the milah that you're doing is a safek, we'll see examples of that. So then already, milat safek is not doche Shabbat. The Gemara will give examples. Orlato vaday doche ta Shabbat. Example number one. What does it mean? Orlato vaday doche ta Shabbat velo androgenos doche ta Shabbat. Which means an androgynous, the Gemara is referring to somebody that has two signs. He has simane ish, and he has simane isha. So that's considered a safek if he is hayav in milah or not, and therefore his milah is not dohe Shabbat. Another example. Actually, Rabbi Yehuda Omer androgynos dohe ta Shabbat. Rabbi Yehuda now Mishnah also argued and said, and androgynos is milah is dohe Shabbat ve'anosh karet. And if he doesn't mal himself, he will eventually get karet. So there's a machloket on an androgynos. Or lato vaday dohe ta Shabbat ve'lo nolad ben hashemashot. Another example of a sefek. Let's say somebody was born ben hashemashot on Friday. Which is Friday. Let's talk. He was born right after sunset, which we call that time over there. Ben Hashemashot. What's the safek? It's safek if it's Friday. If it's safek, if it is Shabbat. So if you're going to make the milah on Friday, a week later, could be that's the seventh day, and therefore you're going to, because maybe Friday Ben Hashemashot the Shabbat. So if it's Shabbat, so then the Friday after is only the seventh day. Therefore, you can't make it on Friday. If you make it on Shabbat, could be it's the ninth day. Because maybe Ben HaShemashot Friday is Friday. And therefore, to make it on Shabbat is the ninth day. So in that case over there, since it's a Safek, therefore you cannot do that Milah on Shabbat. The same thing would be if he was born Ben HaShemashot on Shabbat, which is Saturday night. After sunset, Ben HaShemashot, it's Safek Shabbat, it's Safek Sunday. Now if you say, It's Sunday, so then you cannot be Mohelim on the following Shabbat, because that's only 7 days. So you have the same Safek, so therefore in that case also you would push it off to the following day. So that's the case of Nolad Ben HaShemashot, whether it's not Ben HaShemashot on Friday or Shabbat afternoon. Gemara gives another example. Or lato vaday dohet haShabbat, only a vaday is dohet, velo nolad kishehu mahul dohet et haShabbat. But let's say he's born already circumcised. There's certain children, they're born already mahul. So such a child that's born mahul, so obviously you're not going to cut anything on Shabbat. Now what do you have to cut? Already it's mahul already. What's the question? Now Shabbat Shammai Omrim Sarich Latif Mimenu Damberit. Because Bet Shammai's opinion is that you still have to make a cut in order to draw some blood. That's called hatafat dam berit. So the chiddush is that even though Bet Shammai says you have to make hatafat dam berit, but he agrees that you don't do that on Shabbat. Ubet Hillel omrim eno tzarich. Bet Hillel says nothing. If a person was born with a brit milah, he's finished. You don't have to do anything at all. So therefore, according to this opinion, the shitot would be Bon Mahul, Bet Hillel, nothing. Bet Shammai, Hatafat Dam Berit, but not on Shabbat. Okay? Comes the... And the reason of Bet Shammai, incidentally, is why you have Hatafat Dam Berit, is because he holds, in a case where a child was born Mahul, it could be deceiving. Because maybe the Orla, the foreskin, is pressed underneath the skin. And therefore, by making Hatafat Berit, you might reveal the foreskin. So it's a safek, Bet Shammai holds, that even a child that's born Mahul might not really be Mahul. And therefore, safek milah, we said you don't do on Shabbat. But still, he'll say, during the week, you'd have to make a tafat damirit to see if really indeed he is Mahul or not. And Bet Hillel says, no, if he's born Mahul, you assume he's Mahul, if we don't even need hatafah. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar learns this mahluk, and we just said it a little differently. Lo nechleku Bet Shammai Bet Hillel al nolad kishu Mahul shesarik latif menu damberit mepene she'orla kevushahi. He says, no. Everybody agrees. Bet Shammai Bet Hillel hold, if a person's nolad Mahul, everybody says you have to do hatafat damberit. Why? Because we're concerned that maybe the orla is pressed underneath. And even Bet Hillel will tell you, you have to do it. So where's the machlok Bet Shammai Bet Hillel? Al ma nechleku al ger shenitgayer kishehu mahul. The machlok it is on a convert that converted to Judaism when he was already circumcised. For example, an Arab. That already the Arabs, they circumcised themselves on their own. And now we converted. So now already he has a brit milah. So there we have a machloket. Shebet Shammai omrim sarik latif menu dam berit. Bet Shammai says you still have to go back and do a hatafa dam berit. Ubet Hillel omrim en sarik latif menu dam berit. So therefore we have another way of learning the machloket Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel, which is according to the Bishlom el Ghazar, by a regular nolad mahul, everybody holds you have to do hatafat damberit. You just don't do it on Shabbat, let's say. But you have to do it during the week. However, on a ger shenolad, I'm sorry, a ger shenitgayer, but he was mahul already, there you have the machloket Bet Shammai Bet Hillel. Now the Gemara is going to go analyze the statements that we just made. This was all the beraita. Amar Mor. We had a statement, Velo safek dohe et ha-shabbat, le'atuye mai. If you remember the beginning of the Braita's first case was, Orlato vadai dohe et ha-shabbat, velo safek dohe et ha-shabbat. And not a safek. Then the Braita went on to give us cases. The Shemashot case, the Androgynous case, the Nolad Maul. But what was that first case coming to include? The first case was, Velo safek dohe et ha-shabbat. What is that? What is that case? What is that case of Safek that's not Duchai Shabbat? What is that case coming to include? So the Gemara says, La'atuye, it's coming to include Had Etanu Rabbanan. It's coming to include this case in the Braita. Ben Shiva, the child is born in the seventh month. Mehalelin ala Veta Shabbat. His Milah can be done on Shabbat. Because the seventh month baby will live. But if he's born in the eighth month, in Mechalelin alav et Shabbat. Why? Because we learned in the previous Gemara that an eighth-month baby, in that cycle already, in that period of time, if he's born, the child, according to the Gemara, will not live. And therefore, you cannot Mechalel Shabbat for a child that is definitely not going to make it. Safek ben Zayin, Safek ben Het. Let's say you have a safek, if it's a 7th month baby or an 8th month baby, and mechalelin alav et Shabbat. So that's the case of safek that you don't mechalel Shabbat. Safek 7th month, safek 8th month. Now again, the logic being that since the child is going to die, he's considered already dead, and therefore the milah is not duchei Shabbat. Only question is, if you're considering that the logic, that he's considered dead already, so what would be the isur? You're just cutting a piece of meat from a dead body. There's no isur on Shabbat to cut a piece of meat from a dead body. The only isur is cutting from a live body. He's alive, the child. But we're considering it, since he's going to die, he's considered dead. So it's like a milan a mit. So I'm asking the question. What if it's Mila and Amit, what's the question? You're allowed to cut Basar Amit. So that she explains that this is referring to not the actual Mila of the eighth month child. It's referring to, according to Bini Ha'ezer, you would not be able to do the preparations of Mila for this child, meaning bring the knife to the Mila or sharpen the knife, like the Bini Ha'ezer was Matir Makshire Mila on Shabbat. In this case over of Safek, the Mila, well, it doesn't matter. Mila, you're cutting on a dead skin. It doesn't matter. That's not the Isur over. The Isur would be, according to Bini Ha'ezer, to do the Makshirin, where normally he is lenient. Now the Gemara tells us another deen about an eighth month baby. Ben Shimona Harehu Ke'ebin. The Gemara says that he has a status on Shabbat, that child, like a rock, meaning he is mukseh, because he's going to die. The asur letaltelo, and it is forbidden to move this child. So how does the mother nurse the child? How does the mother feed it? Abal imo shoha uminikato. The mother is allowed to bend over the child to nurse the child. Only mipene hasakana, because of the danger. The danger to who? The danger to the mother. Because the mother has excessive milk. And if she doesn't draw out that milk, it's sakana for her. So therefore the hakamim were lenient that we allow her to bend over the child. We don't suspect that she might come to move the child at the time that she is nursing. So they're really considering an 8-month-old baby, like we said, it is a met. Comes the Gemara and says, Itmar, now we have a statement. We're going to have a machloket between Rav and Shimuel. Rav Amar Halacha Ketana Kama. Rav says that Halacha follows Tanakama. Who is Tanakama? We're going back now to the case of Nolad Mahul. A child that was born circumcised. The first opinion was that according to Bet Hillel, in all cases you don't need Hatafat Dam Berit. Not only a case of a Ger. Even a regular Jew that was born Mahul, according to Tanakama, Bet Hillel says you do not need Hatafat Dam Berit. Rav was Posek, Ketanakama Ushmuel Amar, Halakha Kerebi Shimon Ben El-Hazar. And Shmuel said no. Halakha is like Rebi Shimon Ben El-Hazar that said what? That by Nolad Mahul, even Bet Hillel says you need Hatafat Dam Berit. Bet Hillel says the only case where you don't need Hatafat is by a Ger. So we have a machloket, Rav and Shmuel, how do you posek on a Nolad Mahul? Rav is posek like Tanakama, that you don't need Hatafat Dam Berit according to Bet Hillel in any case. Whereas Shmuel was posek to Shmuel Hazar, that Nolad Mahul indeed needs Hatafat Dam Berit. Machloket, Rav and Shmuel, how to be posek. Now the Gemara tells a story. Rav Ada bar Ahava it yilid lehahu yinuka kishehu mahul. The Gemara tells a story of Rav Ada bar Ahava. It was born to him a child, a baby, and the baby was circumcised at birth. He was born circumcised. Adere atlesar mehola'e. So he brought him to 13 different mohalim on Shabbat, because he wanted the mohalim to make hatafat damberit. So the mohalim refused. They didn't want to make hatafat damberit, because according to Bet Hillel, you don't make hatafat damberit, at least according to Tanakama, the way Rav was posek like Tanakama. So they didn't want to make hatafat damberit. So what did Rav Ada do? Ad shavya kerut shafcha. So he did it himself. And by doing it himself, he maimed the child. He did it in a way where he caused the child to dislocate the member, and now he became a kerut shafcha. As a result, Amar, so Rav Ada bar Ahava, after this happened to him, he said, Titili, I deserve this, what happened to me. De'avre aderav, because I went against Rav. Rav said that according to Bet Hillel, you don't need hatafat dam berit. And I went out of my way and I did hatafat dam berit on Shabbat for this child. So I deserve it for going against Rav. So Amar Leir of Nachman, Ba'ad Shmuel lo avad. Why, you didn't go against Shmuel? Ema damar Shmuel behol. Even Shmuel that said that according to Bet Hillel you need hatafat dam berit, he was only talking about during the week. The Shabbat, mi amar? Did Shmuel hold that Bet Hillel will say that you do hatafat dam berit on Shabbat? Which means when Rav Adad came along and said, I deserve to get punished because I went against Rav. They told him, you didn't go against Rav. Even according to Shmuel you went against. Because Shmuel said what? That in the case of Nolad Mahul, Bet Hillel says, you do Milah. But the Gemara says, he only meant you do the Milah Hatafat Damid during the week. But he didn't mean Atchat. So you went against Rav, and you went against Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Vehu Sabar Vaday Orla Kivushahi. Rav Adam must have held that the logic of that opinion that says, according to Bet Hillel, you have to hatafat dam berit when it's nolad mahul, it's not because it's a safek. He held it must be, it's a vadai, that there's definitely a milah, a foreskin underneath there. So therefore, if he holds it's a vadai, so then he held he had to do it even on Shabbat. So therefore, he went out of his way to do it on Shabbat. So therefore, he said, they should punish me for not following Rav. Now, the Gemara says, the Itmar. So we have a statement, Rava Amar, Haishinan Shema Orla Kivushahi. One opinion says that the reason why Bet Hillel says you need a Hatafat Dam Berit is only because of Safik, because maybe there's a Orla pressed underneath. And Rav Yosef Amar, Vadai Orla Kivushahi. So therefore there is an opinion clearly you see of Rav Yosef that says if you're going to say you need hatafat dam berit by an olad mahul, it's because vadai orla kevusha, because there's definitely an orla underneath. So that's what Rav Adah was going like. Yeah, he has an opinion that says vadai orla. Who's that? Rav Yosef. So therefore he allowed himself to do it on Shabbat. Amar Rav Yosef mina amina la. Now Rav Yosef comes along and says, how do I know what I just said? I just told you that Nulad Mahul needs Hatafat Dam Berit. Why? Because there's definitely an Orla under there, so you got to cut. Who says I'm right? Where did I get this? After all, Rav Yosef was only an Amora. So he says, where's my source from the Tanaim? So he says, Netanya, we have a Braita. Now, I'm just going to give you the setup for the Braita. The Braita is going to quote the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer HaKefar. That's not the source of Rav Yosef. The Tana that's arguing on the Bili Ezer HaKefar is going to be the source for Rabbi Yosef. But the Braita is only going to show us the Bili Ezer's opinion. But we're going to assume that somebody in this Braita was arguing on the Bili Ezer. Once we learn the Bili Ezer's opinion, we could deduce what the Tana Kama of the Bili Ezer HaKefar would have said. And that's going to be where Rabbi Yosef got his opinion from. Right? Not see the Braita. Rabbi Ezra Kefar Omer, Lo Nihliku Bet Shemai Bet Hillel Al Nolad Kishehu Mahul Shesarik Latif Menu Dam Berit. There's no machloket regarding Bet Shemai Bet Hillel if the guy, if the boy was born Mahul. Everybody holds what you have to do. Hatafa Dam Berit. Al Ma Nihliku. So what was the machloket? Lehalel Alav Et Shabbat. The question is, do you mechalel Shabbat for such a child? Bet Shemai Omrim Mechalim Et Shabbat. Bet Hillel Omrim in Mechalim Et Shabbat. So that's the Meir HaKefar's opinion. That according to Bet Hillel, Nolad Mahul, you do Hatafat Dam Berit, you just don't Mechalel Shabbat. Now we get from Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, we could deduce what his counterpart must have said. Meaning, Rabbi Eliezer's one opinion in the Braita. Must be somebody who was arguing on Rabbi Eliezer. So now the Gemara makes that deduction. Mechlav Mechlal de Tanakama Savar Mechalim Et Shabbat. Must be that the Tanakama of this Braita holds that Bet Hillel is going to say you are Mechalel Shabbat. And that's the machloket between Tanakama of this Braita and Rabbi Ezra Kefar. Rabbi Ezra Kefar says what? That everybody says you do Hatafah. That's clear. The machloket between Rabbi Hillel is what? Do you do it on Shabbat or not? And obviously Tanakama is going to say no, that's not the machloket either. Everybody's going to hold you do it on Shabbat as well. Meaning, even Bet Hillel is going to say you do it on Shabbat. So we found an opinion. Which is, according to this now, we found an opinion of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef that said if a boy was born Mahul, You do it on Shabbat because it's Vadai. Olat Kevusha. Who's he following? Tanakamav, the Braita that argues on the Bili Ayazir HaKefar. So the Gemara says, hold it. Vidilma Tanakama Devreakol in Mehalin Kamar. Who told you? Maybe Tanakama goes the opposite way. And he'll say that Rabbi Eliezer, you came and told me that it's a machloket if you mehalel Shabbat or not. Maybe Tanakama says, no, it's no machloket. Everybody holds, you don't mehalel Shabbat. You can learn Tanakama like that. Meaning, Tanakama started off and said what? Everybody holds, you do hatafa, but what? You don't do it on Shabbat. You don't. And Rabbi Eliezer Kefar came along and said, no, according to Beit Shammai, you do it on Shabbat. According to Beit, you don't do it on Shabbat. If you learn the Braita that way, then you have no proof for Rabbi Yosef. So the Gemara says, in Ken, Rabbi Eliezer Kefar, Ta'amad de Beit Shammai Atala Shmi'inan. Hey, if you learn like that, it's very strange. Because Tanakhama is saying, what? According to everybody, you don't mehalel Shabbat for Nolad Mahul. And what is Rabbi Eliezer Kefar coming along and saying? No, according to Beit Shammai, you do. Well, Rabbi Eliezer Kefar is coming to teach me the deen of Beit Shammai. That's very strange that a Tana would go out of his way to highlight for me the opinion of Beit Shammai, because we know that Halakha does not follow Beit Shammai. Halakha follows Beit Hillel. So to set up a braita like that, where the main hiddush of Rabbi Eliezer Kefar is in Beit Shammai, that doesn't work. Again, if you learn the braita, Tanakama says, you do hatafa, but everybody agrees, not on Shabbat. Comes the Bezak Kefar and says, no, it's a machlok if you do it on Shabbat. And Beit Shammai says, you do it. That's the braita. That the Bezak Kefar is coming to teach me the Hiddush in Beit Shammai, that doesn't work. So therefore, we go back to our original premise. Ela must be that Tanakama is telling you, according to everybody, you do it on Shabbat, even according to Beit Hillel. And that, the Bezak Kefar is coming along and saying, no. Even Beit Hillel say on Shabbat, you don't do it. But at least we found an opinion that says, Nolad Mahul, you do it on Shabbat. That's where Rabbi Yosef's proof is. So Gemara says, no. No proof. I could say like this, Dilma Hachi Kama. Maybe this is what Rabbi Yosef is coming to tell me. Lo Nihliku Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Bedavar Zeh. Which means, I could tell you like this, really Tanakama was holding like we're going to say. That what? You don't, according to everybody, you don't mehalel Shabbat for such a milah of Nolad Mahul. So we had a question. And what's Rabbi Eliezer coming to tell me? That according to Beit Shammai, you do? Haidush is in Beit Shammai? That doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, no, we can explain it like this. And if you'll allow me, I'll read it in Rashi with us together. I'm reading in the Shi, I'll tell you how many lines, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13 lines from the bottom in the Shi. The first word on the line is Dilma. Dilma hachi ka'amar Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe this is what the Rabbi Eliezer Kefar was saying. L'tanakama de'amar b'shabbat, l'divrei hakol en mehalelin. Tanakama will say on Shabbat, the V'akol, you don't mehalel. Ufiluktai ubehol. So where is the mahalukah Beit Shammai Beit Hillel? Tanakama will say the mahalukah is during the week. The Beit Hillel en sarik lahatif memenu dam berit. That Beit Hillel will say you don't have to do hatafan. Beit Shammai will say you do. To that, the Beit Shammai comes along and says, haleta. That's not so. De lo nechleku bedavar ze. Ela vadai tzarich. For sure, during the week, even Beit Hillel will tell you, you have to do hatafa. Ube Shabbat, who the peligi? On Shabbat, they're arguing. Betamad de betrat ala shmi'inan. The hiddush of the Mezak Kabbalah is in Beit Hillel. De behold sarich. Ula pukem et tanakama davar le Beit Hillel lo sarich. Which is, I can learn the machloket very fine. Tanakama comes along and says what? Be Shabbat, everybody says, in Mu'alin. Nolad Mahul, on Shabbat, no hatafa. Beautiful. But during the week, that's where you have the machloket. Beit Hillel will say, no hatafa during the week, but Shabbat will say, yeah. Comes the Beit Kefar and says, no, lo nechleku bedavar ze. Not true. Behol, Even Betelel will say, you have to do Hatafa. On Shabbat, that's where you have the Mahloket. So therefore, the Bili Azra Kefar is actually coming to tell you Hadush in Betelel. He's analyzing Betelel's deen. So therefore, it comes out, really Rabbi Yosef could not find a support from a Tana according to his opinion. Because he originally wanted to say what? Must be his opinion is like Tanakama. But now we're saying no, really Tanakama will hold what? That you don't do the Brit Milah according to everybody on Shabbat. And the Mahloket is what? During the week. Came to be Ezra Kefar and said, no. During the week, everybody says you do it even Beit Hillel. The Mahloket is on Shabbat. But that's only according to Beit Shammai that will say you do it. So therefore, according to the Maskana of this Gemara, Rabbi Yosef was not able to find a support for his Shita that Nolad Mahul, you do it on Shabbat. He did not find a Tanayik support. The Gemara rejected it. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rav Aseh. Nudin. Kol she'imote me'alida nimo l'shmona. Any lady that, when she gives birth, will get the tum'ah of leda, the tum'ah that's given to a lady, a Jewish lady, when she gives birth, according to the Torah, she becomes Teme'ah. So it's giving a rule. Any lady that gives birth that's subject to the laws of Tum'at Leda, and she becomes indeed Teme'ah Leda, the Torah says if it's a boy, she becomes Teme'ah for 7 days, if it's a girl, she becomes Teme'ah for 14 days. So such a lady that gives birth in such a way, if it's a boy, the Milah is on the 8th day. However, if a lady gives birth and she's not subject to the Tumav Leda, that baby does not get the Milah on the 8th day. What's an example? So that she gives us two examples. Number one, cesarean. Because the Tumav Leda only comes when the baby comes out of the normal canal. However, a cesarean does not cause Tumah. So a cesarean birth is one example, or a nukhrit, let's say. You have a goya. At the time that she gave birth, she wasn't Jewish. And then she converted. So therefore, at the time she gave birth, there's no tumat leda by a nukhrit. So therefore, such a child also will not be nimol on the 8th day. When is the milah? Immediately. Which means the milah is done right away, the first day, the second day, whenever they can do the milah, the first time. So again, when I says shine emar, what's the proof? Because it says isha ki tazriya v'yaleda zachar v'tamea. The pasuk says, lady gives birth, she has a child, and what? V'tamea, and she will become Temea, and then what does it say in the next pasuk? So you see clearly there's a direct correlation between the lady becoming Temea and doing the Milah on the 8th day. So comes again what says, Amade Abaye, Dorot Harishonim Yochihu. I can bring you a disproof to what you just said from the earlier generations, meaning from the time of Avraham Avinu. When Brit Milah started, until Matan Torah, when was there Brit Milah? On the 8th day. But since it was before the Torah, there was no Tum'ah at Leda. So you see that doing the Milah on the 8th day has nothing to do with Tum'at Leda. Was there Tum'at Leda before Matan Torah? No. And still, when did Avraham Avinu and those after them have to do the Milah? On the 8th day. So Abaye comes along and says, the earlier generations will disprove what you just said. Because the mothers then did not have tumat leda, and still they were circumcised on the 8th day. So Amar le, so he answered back, Natna Torah v'nitchadesha halakha. So you're right. When the Torah was given, the law was revised. Because you're right, before the Torah, the Milah was on the 8th day, regardless. Once the Torah was given, Hiddush. Now the milah is only on the eighth day if there is tum'at leda. You're right. Nitchadesha halakha. Comes the Gemara and says, "Ini, we have a contradiction. Veha itmar, we learned yotze dofen. That's a case of cesarean. Child is born cesarean. Umish yesh lo shte orlot, or a person is born and he has two foreskins, one on top of each other, or according to Rashi, he actually has shte gidin. He has two members, and therefore he has two or not. Ravuna v'Rav Chiya barav. We have a machloket amoraim on this case. Hadamar mechalelin halav et haShabbat. One rabbi says, for these cases over here, you mechalel Shabbat for this child. Hadamar in mechalim et haShabbat. And one rabbi says, no, for such a case, you don't mechalel Shabbat. So it seems the only machloket over here is, let's take the case of the cesarean. Do you mechalel Shabbat for the cesarean, meaning if the eighth day is Shabbat, or not? Ad kano pedigir lechalav et haShabbat. Seems the only machloket over here is do you mechalel Shabbat or not? Aval lishmona vaday mechalim on that. But everybody agreed you do the milah on the eighth day. The only machloket it sounds like over here was do you do it on Shabbat or not? So therefore we see a question of what we just said. You just told me you're cesarean. Since there's no tum'ah, you do it on the first day. Here it's mash, but that the rabbis were only arguing do you do it on Shabbat or not? But it seems eighth day everybody agreed that you do it. So comes the Gemara and says, no, ha beha talya. So what are you talking about? That's exactly the machloket. If you hold, you do it on the eighth day, then you mechalel Shabbat. Because the Torah says that a milah that's supposed to be done on the eighth day can be mechalel Shabbat. And the rabbi that says, you don't do it on Shabbat, you know why? Because he holds such a milah is not supposed to be done on the eighth day. And when is it supposed to be done? It's supposed to be done immediately. So therefore, such a milah, only a milah of Bayom HaShemini is the Shabbat. Right? Because we learned it from the pasuk of Bayom HaShemini Yimon. Only a milah of the 8 days is the Shabbat. But the rabbi that will say it's not the Shabbat obviously holds what? That you don't do it on the 8th day. And therefore you do it right away. So therefore you have no question on what we just said. Really? We'll say that what? The machloket over here is, if indeed a yotzei dofen, a cesarean birth, do you do it on the eighth day or not? The opinion that says you do it on Shabbat, he will say what? Yeah, it's like every other baby. 8 day milah and 8 day duchai Shabbat. And the opinion says you don't do it on Shabbat, he'll hold why? Since there's no tum'ah, so therefore it's not an 8 day milah. 8 day milah you don't do on Shabbat. So therefore you do it immediately. Now, just the Me'idi explains why if you have, let's say, Shte Orlot, why is that case not Duchai Shabbat? I mean, the Chaura, don't you have to give the kid a B'rit Milah? So that's the Sheila. Which Milah is the Hayuv? So therefore you have, because you only Hayav one Milah. So therefore the Safek is, which one is the Hayuv? So therefore it's a Safek Milah, therefore it is not Duchai Shabbat. Comes the Gemara and says, Ketana'e. Now we're going to bring actually a machloket tana'im on this point. On which point? If there's no tum'ah, do you do the milah on the eighth day or do you do it immediately? This is exactly, which means Rav Aser, who was the original author of this statement, he took it for granted. He just said straight, if there's tum'ah, it's on the eighth day. If there's no tum'ah, it's immediately. Now the Gemara says, oh, that which you said Rav Aser is actually the machloket amongst the Tanaim. But to introduce this Tanaic Machloket, we just have to know a few facts. We know in the olden days there was a concept called an Eved Kenani and a Shefha Kenanit, which means a Jew was allowed to purchase a Shefha, a maidservant that was a Goya. Now, once he purchases her, he actually owns her. He owns her like he owns a piece of real estate. And of course, she works, etc. And for that matter, the children that are born to her also belong to the master. Now, there is a process that she goes through, which is a quasi type of a conversion. The halakha says that every shefha kena'anit must undergo Evila. She must dip herself in the mikveh as she becomes the Shifha Kenanit for a Jew. Now we're going to discuss two types of children that are born to these Shifha Kenanites. Because the halakha is going to tell us you have to do Brit Milah on these children. Because these children are considered like the owners. And therefore, he's going to have to circumcise them. Now, there's two types of the children. One is called Yelid Bayit, which the Torah clearly speaks about. Yelid Bayit literally means that he had the Shifha Kenanit. He was in already the owner's domain. She got pregnant. She gave birth. She didn't get pregnant from the owner. The owner's not allowed to go with the Shifha Kenanit. She went with the Ayavid. She had a child. So the Torah tells us that what you need by it, that's considered somebody that was born in your house, you're obligated to circumcise that child. That's one case. And then you have what's called Miknat Kesef. Miknat Kesef is a case where something that you purchased. Example, let's say the Shifha Kenanit was pregnant when you bought her. So now already you bought her and everything that's attached to her. So that's called Miknat Kesef. You bought the child. That child also has to be circumcised. So you have Yelid Bayit. That's when it was born already by you. Means you got pregnant after she came to you. And there's one where you actually bought her when she was pregnant. That is called Miknat Kesef. The Torah clearly says in both those cases, you must do a Brit Milah. But one Pasuk says, you do the Milah on the eighth day. And another Pasuk says, you do the Milah immediately, even on the first day. So now the Gemara is going to have to grapple and say, what's the cases here? We're going to need altogether four cases. We're going to need the case of Yelid Bayit on day eight, Yelid Bayit on day one. We're going to need the case of Miknat Kesef on day eight, and Miknat Kesef on day one. So the Gemara is going to have to give us four different scenarios and the reason why one is eight and one is one. Okay, now let's see the Mahlokit inside. The Gemara says, Ketanae. It's a Mahlokit Tanaim. Yesh Yelid Bayit Shinimol Le'ehad. The Yesh Yelid Bayit Shinimol Le'shmona. Yesh Miknat Kesef Shinimol Le'ehad. The Yesh Miknat Kesef Shinimol Le'shmona. That's the setup. Four cases. Now the statement continues. Yesh Miknat Kesef Shinimol Le'ehad. The Yesh Miknat Kesef Shinimol Le'shmona. We're going to give you the first two cases. Miknat Kesef 1, Miknat Kesef 8. Ketzad. Lakach Shifha Me'uberet. You bought the Shifha, she was already pregnant. Therefore, again, you're buying her, and you're also buying everything that is attached to her. So you're purchasing the child. Yeah? Ve'aharkach Yalda. After you bought her and the child, what? She gave birth. Zeu Miknat Kesef Hanimol L'shmona. So that's a case where you do the Milah on the eighth day. Now she gives us the Sivara. How did you know that that's the eighth day case? Because it's similar to a normal child that's born to Yisrael. When a normal child is born to Yisrael, the child is born, and the father obviously has a connection to the mother and to the child. Here too, the child was born under the master's domain. And therefore, it's domain to a regular case where there's a father. He's not the father in this case, he's the master. And the mother is under his domain, and the child was born. So it makes sense that it's domain to the regular case. Therefore, that's the case of Milah on 8. Next case. Lakach Shifha Vivalda Ima. Oh, let's say he bought the Shifha and the kid was born already. Right? The kid was born, he's one day old. The master comes along and says, I'm buying you and the child. So that's Miknat Kesef. But that's already, he was born already not under the master, right? Zoi miknat kesef shenimol le'echad. In that case, you do the mirah on that child immediately. Because it's not domeh to a regular situation. The child was not born by him. He bought that child. So that would be the case of miknat kesef le'echad. Okay, now we go to the cases of yelid bayit. V'yesh yelid bayit shenimo l'shmona. Now we're going to give the case of yelid bayit of 8. Ketzat. Lakach shifcha, he bought a shifcha, v'nit abira etzlo. And she got pregnant by him, right? Under his domain. V'yalda, and she gave birth. Zeu yelid bayit animo l'shmona. Okay, so we gave you, so far, 3 out of the 4 cases. The only case we're missing is yelid bayit of 1 day. We gave you miknat kesef le'echat, miknat kesef le'shmona, and yelid bayit le'shmona. We continue the statement. Rav Hama Omer, Rav Hama who's a Tana, says, no. Yalda v'ha'lkach hitbila. If let's say you bought the shifcha, she got pregnant, she gave birth, v'ha'lkach hitbila, now he throws in. Then you immersed her in the mikveh. Zeu yelid bayit shenimo le'echad. That's a case of yelid bayit, because you bought her, she wasn't pregnant. The child was conceived by you, right, under him, under his ownership. But what? She gave birth and then he immersed her in the mikveh. Such a case, he says, that's yelid bayit, that's 1. Why? What's the logic? Because since she didn't go to the mikveh yet, there's no tumah. Since there's no tumah, so that's le'echad. So then we found a tana that holds what? That when there's no tumah, it's only 1 day. That's Rav Hama. And Tana Kama, who did not make a difference, Tana Kama said, no, you bought her. She conceived and she gave birth. He said that case is what? Shmona. So obviously, he didn't make a difference, Tana Kama. If did she go to the mikveh, after the mikveh, before the mikveh. So it comes out according to Tana Kama, he doesn't care about this issue of tum'ah. He holds what? You always do it on 8. Whereas Rav Hama says, no, it depends. If the child was born before she went to the tebilah, since when the child was born, there was no tumah on the mother. It's 1. Continue the gemara. Hitbilah. Ve'har kach yalda. Oh, but if she immersed, then she gave birth. Zeu yelid bayit anim ol shmona. Very good. That'll be the case of yelid bayit of 8. Ve'tana kamah lo shani le ben hitbilah ve'har kach yalda. Ben yalda ve'har kach hitbilah. Na'afagav de'en imo teme'a leda. Tana kamah will say, even though the mother is not, teme'a leda nimol l'shmona. So therefore we found a clear machloket amongst the Tanaim. We review quickly. Tana Kama holds, you bought the shifcha, she conceived, she gave birth, yelid bayit, l'shmona. He does not care, did she go to the mikveh before she gave birth, did she go to the mikveh after, we don't care. And what do you see Tana Kama holds? Even if she gave birth, when there was no tum'atar, the milah is on the 8th day. That's a Tanaic opinion. Rav Hama says no. If she gave birth before she went to the mikveh, milah on the 1 day. First day. Why? Since there's no tum'ah, because she didn't go to the mikveh yet, she wasn't Jewish. She didn't go to the mikveh yet. So there's no tum'ah on her, she's a Kanaanit. So therefore you only do the milah on 1 day. So there's a mahloket tana'im. But now we're missing 1 case still. So the Gemara says, Bishlama l'Rav Hama. Mashkachat la yelid bayit nimo le'echad, yelid bayit nimo le'chet. Miknat kesef nimo le'echad, miknat kesef nimo le'chet. According to Rav Hama, we got all 4 cases. The 2 cases of yelid bayit and the 2 cases of miknat kesef. And the Gemara reviews it. Yalda v'har kachit bila. She gave birth, then she went to the mikveh, say yelid bayit nimo le'echad. Hit bila v'har kach yalda, say yelid bayit nimo le'chet. And that's the case of 8. Miknat kesef nimo l'shmona. Now let's go to the case of miknat kesef. What's the case of miknat kesef? Where you bought her and You do it on the eighth day. Kegon shelakach shifcha meoberet. You bought her and she was pregnant. That's considered miknat kesef, because when you bought her, she was already pregnant. Ve'tbila, after you bought her, you immersed her in the mikveh. Ve'arkach yalda. Okay, so that's considered miknat kesef of eight. Because bottom line, she was tavul already, so there is tumah, right? And the child was born under him, so it's similar to a regular birth where there is a father, so he's, let's say, the ba'al, so you do it on the 8th. Miknat kesef nimol le'echad, or what's the case according to Rav Hama, miknat kesef le'echad? Kegon shelakach ze shifcha veze ubra. Gemara gives an interesting scenario. Right, we're looking for a case of miknat kesef le'echad. A case is like this. One guy bought the shifcha, and another guy bought the ubra. Another guy bought the child, which means here you have two separate owners. There's one owner that owns the mother, and there's one owner that owns the ubar. That's going to be a case where you do the milah immediately. What's the logic? So I read you from Rashi. I'm reading the Rashi, Mashkachat La. Actually, gentlemen, let's read this Rashi in its entirety, because it'll give you the shita of Rav Hamma. Mashkachat Lu Kullehu. We have all four cases. I'm going to review now. Yelid Bayit Nimo Le'echad. What's the case again? Yelid Bayit Le'echad. Yalda ve'aharka chitbila. She gave birth, then she went to the mikveh. Yelid bayit nimo lechet. The opposite. Chitbila ve'aharka yalda. Ushnehem b'shinet abira etzlo. The case of yelid bayit is always where she conceived by him. Right? They don't have you miknat kesef. Because that's like miknat kesef. Miknat kesef nimo lechet. Now we go to the third case. Miknat kesef lechet. Kegon. Shilakash shifha me'uberet. Beautiful. And she gave birth after she went to the mikveh. She gave birth betumah under him 8 days. Fourth case. Miknat kesef animol le'ehad kegon shelakar ze shifcha veze ubra. Two different owners here. He bought the mother and he bought the ubar. The keban de en le ba'ala ubar helek be'imo. Since the one that owns the ubar, the child, doesn't have any connection to the mother, right, because the mother belongs to a different owner, so that's not similar to a normal case of a milah on the eighth day. Normally, milah on the eighth day, the father has a connection to the mother. A normal case of Yisrael, that they have a child. Even if they weren't married, there's always a connection between the father and the mother of the child. That's a case where you do a milah on the eighth day. In this case, it's not similar to a regular case of milah on the eighth day. Because here now, the mother of the child is owned by one owner, and the child belongs to another. So therefore, this milah is not on the eighth day because the owner of the mother has no connection to this, to the child. The mother is owned by one, and the child is owned by another. So that she says, they came in the end, ba'ala ubar. The owner of the ubar does not have a helek. Be'imo, lo dumya delachemu. Fine. So now we found the four cases of Rav Hamma. Side question. Now she brings this question down. Why did you guys get so confusing? He bought this, he bought that. Just give the simple case where you have a case of, well, if a case of one, the shifcha was pregnant, so it's miknat kesef. Bought her, she gave birth, then she went to the mikveh. Simple case, that's a case of, so the Gemara, she says, by the way, he could have brought that case down. Continued Rashi, V'u'adin named the matzel lefluge b'miknat kesef ben yalda v'harkach et bila ben et bila v'harkach yalda. You could have made that same chiluk. Ul memar miknat kesef nimol le'echad kigon shelakach shifcha me'uberet ve'ubra. She gave birth v'yalda, she gave birth v'harkach et bila, she went to the mikveh. That's a case of
Miknat kesef le'achad. Ela rebutash mina. He says the Gemara tells you a bigger hadush. Ve'afilu behedbila ve'harkach yalda. We're giving you a case, even if, let's say, she went to the mikveh and then she gave birth. Still, it's only one. Why? Because there's two owners. So therefore, he came to tell me a bigger hadush, Rav Hamad. There is a case where even if you bought her, she went to the mikveh, then she gave birth, still it's only mila liyom echad. Why? Two owners. One owns the ubar, one owns the mother. So therefore that's a bigger hidush. In any event, we solved Rav Hamad's four cases. Gemara comes back and says on top. Exactly. Ela letanakama, first word on the line is letanakama. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, at 11 and 12 lines from the bottom. Ela letanakama, bishlama kullihu mashkahatlihu. Now we got all the cases. At least we got three of the cases. Ela yilid bayit nimol le'echad hechi mashkahatla. According to Tanakama, he did not make a difference whether she went to the mikveh or she didn't go to the mikveh. So therefore, fellow buys the shifcha. She gives birth. According to Tanakama, it should always be eight. He doesn't care if she gave birth betum'ah, which there is tum'ah or not tum'ah. So we don't have a scenario of yelid bayit where it's going to be one. In Rav Chama, we made the difference. Kodem et bila, achar et bila. But according to Tanakama, does not care. If she gave birth and had tum'ah, the milah is still on the eighth day. So the Gemara says, Tanakama, we need the fourth case. Which means, let's review the cases of Tanakama. You gave me a case of yelid bayit of chet. That's what, you bought her. She gave birth. Milah is eight. Finished. Miknat kesef of one is what? Miknat kesef of one, you bought her, she was already, the baby was there already. The baby was born. Right? That case we say, do it to Milah right away. Miknat kesef of eight, you bought her, she was pregnant. She gave birth by you. Eight. So the only case we're missing is yelid bayit le'echad. So Gemara says, Heki meshkachat la, Amar Rav Yirmiya, Belokeyach shifcha le'ubra. Oh, interesting case. She was pregnant. And you bought her when she was pregnant. So it's miknat kesef. You're buying her and the child. However, you're not buying the mother for the mother. You're just buying her product. You're just buying which is called the teperot. You're buying what she produces. Which means you're not buying the mother, you just have stakes in the child. That's how you're buying it. Now, what is that? What does that do? So that she comes along and says like this. Since he doesn't have a stake in the mother, it's not dome to a regular brit milah. A regular brit milah, why do it on the eighth day? The father always has a stake in the mother. Right? It's his wife, or he conceived from her. Here, he owns the child, but he has no stake in the mother. That's not a normal case of a brit milah. Therefore, he says, that's the case of yelid bayit le'echad. Gemara says, that's not so simple. Why? The Gemara says, "Hani haleman damar kinyan perot lavki kinyan aguftame." We have a great machloket in Baba Batra between Ishtakish and Rabbi Yohanan. Is it possible to have a stake in the fruit without the field? Could you buy a field and not own the field and just own the fruit? So there's an opinion that says, yeah, it's possible to separate them. You could have a stake just in the fruit, kinyan in the perot, and not in the goof. Oh, so if that's the case, we say the same thing over here. You got a stake in the child and not in the mother. Therefore, she lead by it le'echad. Ela leman demar kinyan perot ki kinyan haguf dame. But there's another opinion that says, no. Once you have a stake in the fruit, it automatically means you have a stake in the field. So then over here, when you buy the shifcha, and you're saying, well, I'm buying it for the ubar, automatically you have a stake in the mother as well. Therefore, the milah should be on the
Eighth day. So we're back to the question. What's the case? Ma'ika lememar. Amar Rav Mesharshia. Benokei al shifha al minat shelo lehatbila. The case is the shifha was pregnant. Let's pick that case. Yeah? You bought her with no intent to ever tovel her. In such a case where you never have an intent to tovela, even Tanakama will say the milah is done immediately. Now, even though we learned that Tanakama says he doesn't care about tevila, yeah, that's only when eventually you're planning on doing a tevila. So he doesn't care. The lady gave birth before she was tovel, after she was tovel, always on the eighth day. But which you never have intent to tovela from the inception, so then already that's a case where you do the milah on day one. Let's look at the Rashiti lines on the bottom. Shilakha al menat shelo lehatbila delo shaycha ba torat chiyuba de mitzvot klal. She's never going to be shayach to the mitzvot. She's never going to be tovel. Delav du miyad alachemu. Which means, in a case where she gave birth and then dipped, according to Tanakama, eight. Because he doesn't care if there was no Tumat Leda at the time. Tanakama, we said, doesn't care about that. He just cares what? She was by you, she gave birth, whether there's Tumat Leda or not, doesn't matter. So long as you're planning on dipping her one day. But in this case over here, you're not planning on dipping on the Mikveh Bichlal. So that would be the case of Miknat Kesef Le'echad, where you bought her pregnant, but you had no intention to dip her at all, you'll dip it one day. So bottom line, we did find proof positive, a Machloket Tanaim. Do you say that when a lady gives birth and there's no Tum'ah, do you say the Milah is immediately like Tanakama, or do you say, I'm sorry, do you say like Tanakama, that it's on the eighth day, I don't care if there's no Tum'ah? Or do you go like Rav Hama that says, no, if there's no Tum'ah, the Milah is on the first day. So we prove that Rav Asir's statement is actually subject to a Machloket Tanaim. Baruch Hama Le'olam. Amen.